Well, you know, I was talking to this guy the other day. I was trying to actually witness to him and get him to get acquainted with the Lord. He didn't think much about what I was telling him because he didn't believe in that sort of thing. When I asked him, well, why? I mean, why don't you believe in God? Why don't you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, I wanted to one day. There was a time when I wanted to. And it wasn't too long ago. He said, then I went to the church. And in the church, they were telling me all these things, that the Bible said this, and that God was here and there, and Jesus was that person and that person. Then when I got home, a couple of these guys from church, they come and knocked on my door, and they come in and they sat down and they wanted to kind of lay it all out for me. And well, I'll tell you, by the time they left the house, I was so confused I didn't know whether I was dead or alive or I'd just come in the house or just left the house. All I knew was I had to go to the bathroom. You know what? What I'm trying to tell you here is the word is confusion. And the older the people are that you witness to, the more confusion you're going to get. Because the older people get set in their ways. Now, I know that because I'm an older person. I'm a senior myself. So I know what I'm talking about when you say getting set in your ways. Well, and I can appreciate where they're coming from, especially today. You got people coming from every direction with all sorts of different Bibles, all sorts of different messages, all sorts of ways to get to heaven. It's driving everybody up the wall. You know what? I'm a preacher of sorts, which means I'm not what you'd call the ideal preacher for most people, because they like preachers who are more oriented with people like Joel Osteen, or they don't like to believe in hell and that sort of thing, or maybe... Maybe they're sort of like Billy Graham in that regard. But, you know, the Bible is so plain. But people look at me and say, well, I don't understand it. I can't make head or tail of it. Well, you know what you got to do first? You got to get saved. And you know what happens once you get saved? Well, and this is pretty plain, when you come to the Lord Jesus, you receive him as your personal Savior, believe in him, repent. What happens then is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes and dwells inside you. Now, when this happens, the Holy Spirit has a job to do, not just to clean house, but also to help you understand God's Word. Okay? Now, that's the function of the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because without him, I'd be just as confused as everybody else. And I was before I got saved. But now, everything just kind of cleared away, like all the clouds that were on my mind just kind of were shoved aside. And I could see the Word of God just as plain as could be. And then when I get into Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And I looked at that and I said, wow. That means that the word that I'm reading here in my King James Bible, that these words were written even though they were penned by David, they were written by God. See, God is the writer, but he had a lot of penmen, a lot of penmen along the way. Yeah, scribes, eh? So everything that was once confusion was now clear as could be. And I didn't have those problems. You know, I preached once in a while over at the seniors' residence, seniors' retirement home here in Newmarket. And I really love it because I get a chance to talk to these folks that are a little bit older than I am. Now, I'm on 72, and some of them over there is in their 80s and pushing 100 even. But you know what? When you get that age, you're kind of set in your ways. You really are. And it's hard to change you. It's hard to tell you things that they never heard before or that they don't really want to hear. My father was like that, my mom too, you know. You just couldn't tell them anything. Even if it made a whole lot of sense to you, it didn't make any sense to them. Anyway, recently when I was preaching over there, I was hanging out in the recreation area, waiting for my call to come in and preach. Some of the seniors were gathered in the lounge, and as they do each time our church goes over there, we give out the gospel, and we preach a good, strong message, and we don't hold back, you know, we let it out. We let it out, because these people, they're in door three now, which means that what you tell them now, if they don't want to believe it, then, you know, it's too late. Because they're right on the abyss. Right on the abyss. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. It's that simple. That plain. You know, as I browsed about, though, waiting in a recreation room there, I noticed a poster on the wall, which identified our church as being Baptist, which is what we are. Good. And then there were a bunch of other posters on the wall with ours. I also noticed several others. Each one had its own layout as well as their own beliefs. And as I looked them over, two things began to happen to me. One was in my mind, the other was in my stomach. The stomach one was, a sickly feeling. Almost that of a total defeatist. It got that way because of what the mind's eye was seeing and what the Holy Spirit was telling me at the time. There were all kinds of different religions coming there to preach. All kinds. I'd never thought about it before. And no two were alike. Mormons, Catholics, Jehovah Witnesses, you name it. They were all taking their turns and rotating each month. And they all preached a different Christ. A different Jesus. What we as independent Baptists, King James Christians were preaching, they were unpreaching. You got it? It's like we were going in and telling them how to get saved and what God's Word said about this and that, and they were coming in and they were saying, no, 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 no. Here's what God's Word has to say. They were on preaching what we were preaching. Then I thought, how confused these people are. This church would say one thing, and that church would say something different, and that other church would say something again different. Then it struck me. God is not the author of confusion. And man, they got confusion. Now, unless they are all well grounded in the faith, well, they'd be all over the road with their beliefs. They'd be all over the road. In their old age, in their minds weakened by time, now I began to feel so sorry for them. Yes, I did. Then I prayed, and I prayed, "Dear God, this is so heart-wrenching. What am I to do? How will they ever believe what I'm telling them when there are so many with a different Bible telling them something different?" Look, as fast as I could get the words off to God, his answer was equally swift in coming to me. As fast as I asked them, they would come right back at me. They were simple and to the point. There was no confusion whatsoever. Simple and to the point. And this is the words that God laid on my heart. Hear what I say. You have been sent to preach the gospel. That is all you must do. I will do the rest. Wow, a whole new window opened up in my heart. From that day on, I always remembered that answer to prayer and what God laid on my heart. It is up to us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's up to them to believe it or not. We can't take them by the hand and lead them over here. We can't grab them by the shoulders and say, "You got to believe this. You don't believe that." That's not our job. A lot of people do that. They get you in some of these new evangelical ecumenical churches. They get you all worked up in a lather and a sweat by the crazy music they play, and then you're just kind of in a haze. And the next thing you know, you're walking down the aisle. Well, not walking. You're just cruising down the aisle, down to the platform. And there you are, and the eyes are just bawling, and the heart's all troubled. And you close your eyes, and there's this donkey on the platform, and he's telling you how to get the glory, and telling you how not to get there, and telling you you have to do this, and you have to do that. You know what? The next day you wake up, and you wonder, what did I say last night? Did I make a fool of myself? Wow. What happened anyway? Well, I don't remember even getting the gospel. I remember some fancy preacher up there wearing a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt that said, "Go Leafs," telling me that, hey, all I got to do is repeat after me. Repeat after me. Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm saved. Well, wow, I hear. Well, if he says so, I guess he knows what he's talking about. I must be saved. Yeah? Wrong. There's a lot of people just like that, wandering around the streets, wandering into the bars, sitting in places where they shouldn't be sitting, saying words they shouldn't be saying, reading things they shouldn't be reading, watching movies they shouldn't be watching. Who are they? Are these people that belong to God? Are these people who accepted Jesus as Savior? Are these people who, well, as the Bible says, you're a new creature in Christ? If you are saved, are these new creatures in Christ? There's no change in them. I know some guys I met along the way that I thought they were saved, so I wanted to get together with them, maybe go play golf or something, you know, because I wanted to fellowship with them. Then I get out there on the golf course, you know, they wouldn't say anything. And I say, oh, well, you know, the Lord sure is good. Yeah. Have you got an extra key on you? Boy, I'll tell you, I love the Lord. He sure made a nice day today. Oh, yeah, watch this shot. Oh, boy, that was a good shot. Yeah, thank the Lord for that. Man, oh, man, I'm glad I practiced. I got to think, this guy's supposed to be saved. all through around, he doesn't talk about the Lord. And every time I do, he just kind of drifts off in another direction. You know what? He wasn't from my church. He was taught a different Jesus, a different gospel. And it didn't include going around talking like you're a Christian and then getting on with your living and knowing you're a Christian. Well, that's not the idea God had in mind when he sent Jesus to the cross. He wanted us to become new creatures in Christ. He wanted us to change our ways. He wanted us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He wanted us to talk about him and how great he is and to glorify his name by the things that we say and do. He wanted us to act like Christians. You know, it's been estimated that there's somewhere in the 90% of people who profess to be Christians that are not Christians at all. Now, you get these old folks in these senior homes. I mean, I go there and I preach to them. I give them the gospel. I make it as clear as can be. I'll say to them, I said there last time I said, okay, I'm going to ask you all a question. Anybody in here who believes in their heart that they're a born-again Christian, please put your hand up. You know who put their hand up? It wasn't the people in the retirement home. It was our church members sitting around the back. And then somebody suddenly in the retirement home put up their hand. Kind of, I think so, you know, up and down type of thing. So anyway, I preached the message. The message was on salvation, of course, you know, and does God answer your prayers? And by the end of the message, you know, I had an invitation. I wanted everybody who believed, understood what was said, and would repent and come to Jesus to make sure to examine themselves. And after we closed in prayer, I went around and I talked to different people. And I'd done this before. But there's one guy there, I never saw him there before, and I went right to him when I asked him, just as plain as could be, are you saved, sir? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? That if you died tomorrow, you'd go to heaven? Do you believe he went to the cross? And he shed his precious blood for our sins and the sins of all the world? Well, I don't know. That's the way he was supposed to. I don't know. Is the guy confused or what? Or was he just trying to be nice to me? But you know, but before I left him, and I didn't push him, I didn't grab him and shake his hand or shake his head or anything. I just said, gave it to him straight out. Here's the situation, sir. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And I gave him the gospel, plain and simple. I said, do you understand? He said, yes, I do. I said, fine. Then one day I'm going to hope to see you in heaven. Then I went on to the next person, the next person. That's all you can do. That's all we're commanded to do, is to give the gospel. Not twist their arm. Not give them an Indian burn, not give them a kick in the backside, but to give them the Word of God and let them let them take it in, let them think about it, but make yourself available to them. In other words, do a follow-up. Come and see them. See if any changes take place. See how they feel. I've gone back to people who professed they were saved, and then what happened? Went back and said, well, how you doing, brother? He says, don't call me brother. I said, well, you're a child of the King. You received the Jesus Christ last time we were talking. He said, well, I changed my mind. He says, I don't agree with anything you said. You know what happened? The devil got to him. This man was 91 years old, and he was just smart as a whip, if you think that was smart. But he kicked me out of his room. Because when I gave him the gospel, he was wide open for it. He believed every word I said. And I said a prayer with him when I left. And I said to myself, thank you, Lord. Or not to myself. I said to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for drawing that man to Jesus Christ. Praise be to you. Went back a week later and told me that I was wrong. You see what I mean? Confusion. Because in the meantime, somebody else came in, gave him a different Jesus, a different gospel, got him confused. Don't want to hear any more about it. As a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have been given the privilege, the honor, to preach and to tell all whom I meet the wonderful salvation message. Whether they believe it or not is entirely up to them. And I keep myself available for a follow-up. I don't just tell them and then leave them. I'll go back and check on them later. If they kick me out, fine. If they say, come on in, brother, praise the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what? It's the last call for seniors. When you get to be in your 70s and 80s and even 90s, and you still got a clear mind, you got to get these people. Because a lot of them are still confused. A lot of them never walked that aisle. A lot of them never heard the true gospel. And they don't have a whole lot of days left. It's up to us, not just to reach the young people, but to reach the elderly as well. Okay? Well, I thank you for listening. May God bless you. Amen.